you know, while I'm...
Ready? We'll call the September 24th EEHW meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Here.
Lena Buckner.
Here.
Matt Brown. Jim Gresham.
Here.
Linda Little.
Here.
Laura Zimmerman.
Here.
Kevin Greenfield.
Here.
6 of 7 quorum present.
Okay, thank you very much. We need an approval of the minutes from 7:23.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Yes.
Aye. Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman. Kevin Greenfield?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. I need a motion on the claims. Mr. Gresham?
Move that be accepted and as submitted.
Second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft?
Aye.
Elena Buckner?
Aye.
Jim Gresham?
Aye.
Linda Little?
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman?
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Sony, Jennifer.
All right, the first one is R-04-09-20 is a petition filed by Richard Thacker requesting to rezone approximately 9.87 acres from A1 agricultural zoning to RE5 single family estate zoning. The property is located at 9025 Sefton Road in Mount Zion Township. On September 2nd, a Public Zoning Board of Appeals hearing was held, and based on the finding of facts, the staff recommended approval, and the Zoning Board voted 5-0 for the approval of the rezoning.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
The second one is R-02-09-20 is a petition filed by Lee and Kathy Walston requesting to rezone approximately 5.36 acres from M1 light industrial zoning to RE5 single family estate zoning. Property is located at 1835 North Bender in Oakley Township. The Oakley Township Planning Board and the Township Board approved the petition. On September 2nd, the Public Zoning Board of Appeals hearing was held, and based on the finding of facts, staff recommended approval, and the Zoning Board of Appeals voted 5-0 for approving the rezoning.
So moved.
Second.
Questions?
Did you say 5.36? That isn't the way what I have reads. Mine says 4.96.
Okay, it could be. Sorry, I have two of them, so you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is 4.96.
Yeah, so that one is.
So the resolution is correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
So then the second resolution there is for the same landowners. They got two pieces of land right
parcels
next to each other.
Okay.
And then this one would be for the 5.36 acres. And everybody, Zoning Board, Oakley Township Board approved it. Township Board approved it. Zoning Board of Appeals approved it 5-0.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Good. Okay, subdivisions.
All right, the first one is a two-lot minor subdivision located in Long Creek Township. The owner is Brian Jones. The property is commonly located at 2155 Esther Avenue. Lot 1 will be 1.887 acres. Lot 2 will be 15.852 acres with a total of 17.539 acres. The Village of Long Creek has approved the subdivision. Staff has reviewed all the documents and staff recommends approval.
I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
And the second subdivision is a two-lot minor subdivision located in Decatur Township. The owner is Macon County Emergency Telephone System Board. The property is located at 2350 South Business Route 51. Lot 1 is 1.50 acres and Lot 2 is 5.72 acres for a total of 7.22 acres. City of Decatur has approved the subdivision. Staff has reviewed all the documents and staff recommends approval.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, there's no animal control, no veterans. Do you have anything else, Jennifer?
No.
Okay, health department.
Good evening, everyone. Just a few updates before we get into the resolutions as far as what my report will be. Of course, we're still very busy responding to COVID-19 throughout the building, specifically in our clinical nursing division. And we are in the process of hiring many people to expand our capacity with those grant dollars that we had talked to you about previously. So getting that done as quickly as we possibly can so that our capacity is built. Another thing we're doing, of course, is continuing to plan for mass vaccination clinics when a COVID-19 vaccine is available. And then, of course, we're also starting our flu vaccination clinics. So we want to continue to remind people that every year, especially this year more than ever, it's important to get that flu vaccination. So please make sure you do that. And then also we're still continuing on with not only our essential services throughout the building, but pretty much all of our services that we had in place prior to COVID-19. There's a couple of things we're not currently able to do, but for the most part, we're continuing to do everything that we were. Just a few reminders and just kind of pieces of information relating to COVID that we want to continue to keep trying to spread to people is, you know, take those precautionary measures. It takes all of us doing our part in order to make a difference and protect the lives of people in Macon County and the visitors to our community as well. So make sure you're wearing those masks. Make sure you're wearing them, you know, appropriately over your nose and all of that. Make sure you're social distancing. I think one misconception is people think if they have a mask on, they can sit within that 6 feet, but masking is not a substitute for social distancing. So help us break that misconception, please. And then also, it's very important when you're considering if you're having any type of gathering to be as safe as you can and still implementing those social distancing and masking guidelines. Another thing that we're making sure people understand is that if you are told to go into quarantine, a negative test does not get you out of quarantine. You do still have to complete that. So we're encouraging people to be tested, and we give that guidance when we speak with them as appropriate, but testing does not get you out of quarantine. So if you can help us spread the word and help get the accurate information out there, we'd really appreciate it. So now on to resolutions. Do we need to do them each separately, or do you want me to go over all of them at once?
Do we need to vote on them each? I don't care. We should probably vote on each one. Yes.
Okay. I'm totally fine with that. Okay, so first one, Macon County Board Resolution approving Master Services Agreement for HealthWorks Lead Agency with Meridian Health Plan of Illinois, doing business as Youth Care. So this is a program we've talked a little bit to you about. We have two sides of this program throughout our building. This particular contract is for the lead agency side. Historically, this is a program that we contracted with DCFS on this side of our building in order to assist foster parents with children that had been placed in foster care. We do initial case management, ensuring that they get the medical and other referrals and resources that they need in that very critical time in their lives. So the state is moving to a managed care model. So now instead of getting the grant funding directly from DCFS, we would want to contract with Youth Care in order to still provide those services, but doing so, getting that funding from the contract with Youth Care. The services are not expected to change in any way. We did ask when we were assessing whether to continue with this program, what would happen if we as the health department didn't do it, and they had no backup plan. So it is very important for these children that are already at high risk for us to be able to serve them. So hopefully we'll get that approved. We did also ask Youth Care for an increase with that contract because historically we've been required by DCFS to serve more children than was in our grant agreement, and we never had adequate funding to staff that program the way that we wanted to. So Youth Care has also agreed to increase the amount that we will be getting from them so we can hire another staff person to adequately serve all of those children. So I would ask you to approve that resolution, open to any questions anyone has.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions?
Yeah. What are the dates on this new contract?
It would be effective September 1, and we did get it after that date, and it would go through the, I believe they have it as June 30th on that. They expect it to continue after that, but that initial agreement would be through that date.
I'm sure it's in here. Yeah. Okay. I see it right here. Okay. September 1.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
A lot of dates in my head right now, so
that's
I don't
okay.
misspeak.
I get it. Yeah. Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, next one, Macon County Board resolution approving acceptance of donations of goods and materials and the free distribution of the same by the Health Department. So basically, sometime after I came in as administrator, we're trying to do everything we can to make sure we're doing everything the right way and the most thorough way possible. And in speaking with State's Attorney's Office, it was determined a best practice was to have a resolution in place for if and when we accept and hand out donations. Of course, what we accept, we give right back out, and we do assess whether or not those are going to be safe items to give back out to the public. This is just basically to make things as thorough and to the T as we possibly can. And Mike Baggett did review this and make some edits for us. So that's what that would be covering.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you very much. Third one, Macon County Board resolution approving increase in appropriations in the FY20 health fund budget for the COVID-19 crisis grant. You probably all can recall that I told you we had actually a few grants that we found out we would be getting funding from specific to COVID-19. This is one of the earlier ones we were notified about. It was $72,000 and some odd dollars that we received. You can see the details of that with it. $72,319. There were several ways that we could use this. You could use it for overtime, public health expenses, infection control, mitigation, communications, etc. And so, again, we were very grateful to get this funding. It definitely didn't put much of a dent, but then, of course, we were happy to find out we got that COVID-19 contact tracing grant, which was the $2.8 million grant. So just asking you to approve that, that COVID crisis grant resolution.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? Roll call vote.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And one more, Macon County Board resolution approving increase in appropriations in the FY20 health fund budget for the local cure program. Local health departments were an allotment B of this, and we are able to request reimbursement up to $251,469. And these have to be things that you don't already have in a grant or in a budget. So these would be expenses outside of what we are getting covered by those other COVID grants that we have received from IDPH. So you can see in there a few of the ways you can use them, public health expenses, payroll expenses, compliance expenses. So we definitely have found some ways to utilize these dollars as we move forward and do so as responsibly as possible. So we're just asking for approval for that.
I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Brandy. Environmental Management, Nick.
Hello, Hello, everyone. I don't have any resolutions this evening. It's more so just an overview of how our collections have been going. August 8th, we had an electronics collection. We had 143 attendees, and of those attendees, we received 234 televisions or computer monitors. August 22nd was our paint collection. We had 119 people attend that collection. September 12th was another electronics collection. We had 132 people attend, and 200 televisions and computer monitors collected on that date. This Saturday, we have a paint collection. That collection is completely full at 140 appointments. And then in October, we will have the last electronics collection and last paint collection of the 2020 collection season. October 17th is the electronics collection, and we are full for that collection. And actually, I did get put in place a paper shredding event. Normally, we would have those much earlier in the year, but because of the pandemic, we weren't able to hold it in spring as we normally would. That is going to be on October the 23rd. COPS, which is Confidential On-Site Paper Shredding through Midwest Fiber, is who we utilize for that. They are instituting what they call reduced contact procedures, which essentially just means that everyone needs to stay in their car and be queued forward. Each person will have to dump their material into the bin themselves, and that's essentially the gist of it, just to keep with social distancing measures. And then our final paint collection of the season, I just announced the date the other day, that will actually be on Halloween, October 31st. Registration for that event opens this upcoming Monday at noon.
Okay.
And then also, I also wanted to bring up that at the beginning of the pandemic, Best Buy and Staples stopped their recycling programs. They were not accepting any electronics from households. They have since reinstated those programs, so they are collecting most of the same electronics that we collect during our collections, which is very helpful because it kind of takes a little bit of the weight off of us.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I don't have anything.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh,
Nick,
question.
How do you determine, like you say, these fill up fast.
Uh-huh.
How do you determine the number that you can accommodate?
Well, it has to do with past experience, trial and error of figuring out how many appointments we can handle within. All of our appointments are in a 15-minute slot. And so, generally speaking, we've tried 15, and that is just way too many appointments per slot. That's an appointment a minute, and so we've reduced that to 10 per every 15 minutes. That gives us just a little bit more time, and so generally speaking, 140, 150 is our max on those collections.
Okay. Any other questions for Nick? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No one from the Regional Office of Education, Mental Health, Historical Museum, U of I, any citizens' remarks? Nothing. No old business, no new business. We don't need a closed session. Next meeting, 10/22/2020. Motion adjourned.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, everyone.